The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Kindly state your name.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys are pretty darn dope.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Gao Media station.
Are we on the air?
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Don't send that anymore, Dan Holden. That we don't need. And can we stop this, please? Can we stop? The stats are empty and a loss. It's all about the beard. No, the dude is playing his ass off. We're watching something. Until he wins. Okay, so it's all empty until he wins a playoffs. Okay, until he wins a championship.
Well, okay. Same thing. You know what?
Can we
same
stop?
Same thing with Michael Jordan when he had 63 and a loss against the Celtics.
But it was 63!
He was trying to help his team win.
Yes, and it was 63 points.
No,
I don't care.
What? No.
You can say, all of you can say, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter.
P.J. Tucker, you got to let those guys have more shots. Do you have a better chance if James is trying to score or if P.J. Tucker is trying to score? What gives you a better
That's
chance?
That's not the point, though. The point is that James, until James wins a championship, none of this matters. That's crap.
Well,
why can't you enjoy watching what we're watching right now?
I don't tell people what they can or why they or what they should and shouldn't enjoy, but I think some people are just done. They're tired of it because anytime, yeah, sure, you put up your 58. This is me playing devil's advocate. Sure, you put up your 58, but weren't you part of that 1-for-27? Weren't you or 0-for-27? Weren't you part of that?
Yeah.
So until you rectify that, I don't care what you do in January against the Nets.
But no, there's no question. When we get playoff time, then let's talk about the playoffs.
Well, I think the Rockets, and they will say it themselves, they believe, and rightfully so, they're a championship contender. And maybe people don't care about the regular season anymore.
Okay, I guess. You know what? I guess. I don't know. I think that it's extraordinary. What he has done the last 2 years, I like to say it like I'm British, extraordinary. It really is.
And I'm not sure James' style. I mean, Rocket fans, the hardcore ones will love how James plays, but I think there's people in the city who aren't particularly fond of how he gets to what he gets. I don't think they
can,
like.
If you can't, I get it. And in the last couple of years, I've really gained a newfound respect for James. I was not a huge fan of what he did and the way he went about it, basically behind the scene, a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, and you know how he falls apart in elimination games. He just does.
That's the only thing that bothers me. I don't think he takes look, there's some things like late in the clock when you know he's just going to dribble and do a step back. You know, sometimes I'd like you to attack the basket.
Well, he does, though. You can't say
sometimes,
he doesn't do that.
But you know most of the time it's going to be a settled three.
Well, most of the time, yeah. But by the way, I'm not a big fan of that style of basketball. Dribble, isolation.
But they play three-point basketball, which is a majority of the NBA teams now play that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets have learned to play it well. James has learned to play it well, really, frankly, one of the inventors of it, basically. And Yeah, I mean, his efficiency rating is over 30 now, which means that is a good, it's a good factor to determine. His true shooting percentage is almost at 62%. You're right. He gets the free throw line.
No one can enjoy it until he wins a championship, which is, I get it.
Mark says, so this scoring bench that Harden's on will not matter if the Rockets don't win a championship. Am I right? No. That's not right. Or if you say that, you're basically an existentialist.
Nothing matters.
Or a nihilist where nothing matters. Nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
Stockton and Malone shouldn't have even played basketball because their entire careers and existence as humans didn't matter because they didn't win titles. That's incorrect. It's hard to win titles. Now, I would say at some point you can say Dominique Wilkins, all he did was scored. What did he ever do in the playoffs? That's fine if you want to say those things. But for guys' careers not to matter unless they win rings, that is absolutely incorrect and outrageous to me. Not a lot of teams win championships. Last I checked, it's LeBron teams and Golden State. That's it. That's the only teams who win. And the Spurs. Nobody else wins.
That's it.
Dirk had one about a decade ago. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's it. And when Michael was there, that's all. He's the only one that won.
I don't think it's simply.
Nobody else's careers matter.
I don't think
except
it's simply
the dreams.
About not winning. I think it's the way they've gone about not winning.
Yeah. And James, the guy, has been. Yeah, less than.
But Dell, he just said if he doesn't win a ring, it doesn't.
Well, I'm talking about what is. I think what happened previously has led to this attitude for some people. If some people actually really believe that James is, once he gets enough shots, will win it. But if they continue to see not just failures, like these abominations in the final games, I think that's led to this attitude. If James was putting up 45 and doing everything he could and the Rockets are still losing, like, hey, just get James some help and we're going to win. I don't think James has set himself up, at least in some people's eyes, to have that thought.
Oh, why?
Because they believe he's the problem in those games.
Well, does no one remembers game 6 and 7 last year?
Yeah.
You were up 3-2 when Chris Paul was on the floor.
But James was playing.
So that's incorrect because you did have a team that could win a championship last year.
When we pointed out, they had leads in both games 6 and 7.
Right.
And James
helped you get those leads.
But he also helped you lose.
Yes. That's my
thought. Well, he didn't finish, yeah.
He didn't finish.
I'm with you. I mean, great players shouldn't always be defined by titles, but we've come to a point where the Rockets have set themselves up as we're title contenders. People have decided, hey, this is great and all, but if I have to sit through another elimination game where you underperform, I'm not going to care about this.
Right. I get it. I get it. But that you can't enjoy a regular season anymore just because James hasn't won a title. I mean, really?
I mean, honestly,
we're watching something special
right
now.
Like I said, I don't think it's simply because he hasn't won. I think it's because of what he's done when he's had a chance.
James is always going to there's going to be a segment of people who I don't love the guy off the court, but I think he's I can separate the off the court and the on the court. He's a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal offensive talent. He's going to go down as one of the great scorers and offensive players in the history of the game. And he's going to be more efficient than Kobe Bryant. He's going to be, when it's all said and done, he's going to be a better offensive player than Kobe. People will right now lose their heads when I say, and I get that because Kobe's got rings and all that stuff. But when there's distance separating James's career, you're going to look at James and you're going to look at Kobe and say, man, James is a way more impactful offensive player. The assist, the ability to create for others, the ability to create his own shot, his 3-point shooting. You're gonna see a lot of different things. Kobe could post you up in a triangle, which is something James doesn't do. I think James could do it, but it's not really inside that, because James is a strong physical guy.
He can play defense in the low post.
But you know what? There are going to be people who don't like James Harden personally,
right.
and that's,
hey, I was one of those people. I've got a newfound respect for him. I really do. I mean, for what he's doing, it's phenomenal. We're watching something really special.
So listen
now
to this. So I was when we come back, I got to tell you about the New England Patriots' new motto and see if it's I think it's a little ominous. But their new motto, the New England Patriots. I want to get to that. And I talked to a guy who's does radio in Denver when I was at the Shrine Game, and we were talking about the Texans and the Broncos. And we talked about coverage of the Texans and the vibe of the city, and all this. And I want to bring that up and get you guys' thoughts on that when we come back here in just a second. Right now, I want to tell you about the best poker spot in the city of Houston. And it's frankly, as John mentioned, it's not even close. The facility itself is a freestanding building. It was a beautiful, it was a sushi restaurant initially that they took a year and a half to build, and it was, and it is gorgeous. And then it became a churrascaria, and then from there it became Prime Social. And they just made some minor changes to the interior, nothing major, because the guts of the entire building are just great. And so once they got that all flipped around on the floor, what the way they wanted it to look, they had 20 tables. They've got more than 20 tables now, brand new. They've got TVs, 29 surrounding the area, and they're waiting for you to come in and play your cash games, play your No Limit Hold'em, your Fixed Limit Omaha, play your tournaments every single day at noon except Sunday at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, the 25th is a big birthday bash. So we're going to be there playing poker on the 25th. You're going to have a bounty on you tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I'll be there next Friday, and then February 9th is the big $20,000 free roll. All you got to do is play now in the cash games, and you can be eligible. Top 80 players are going to be in that. So all kinds of reasons to get to Prime Social. It is the best poker club. It's not even arguable. If you haven't played there, get there. Prime Social TX, 7801 Westheimer, Prime Social.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about this Patriots thing. So, the New England Patriots have a new motto. And after the game, Tom Brady, who was it? Who did he tell? Whichever sideline reporter it was. Yeah, everybody thought we suck, and that became a thing. Mm-hmm. But they really didn't. Well, I'll tell you this: they weren't the same Patriots team during the regular season. Their defense sucked. It just did. And Brady wasn't the same guy. He was throwing off balance. He had people in his face, and even when he didn't have people in his face, he was missing guys. It wasn't the same guy. Now, were they the Patriots again last weekend? Yep. And will they be again this weekend?
Well, they're saying bet against us, because Julian Edelman is now selling shirts with the Patriots logo, the little hat or whatever, Patriot. And inside it just says, bet against us. And that's all it is. And he's selling these. Julian Edelman's selling these shirts. Bet against us. I feel like that's the most ominous threat coming from the Patriots, like, because you know what it does? It makes you go like this. You already in the back of your heart don't feel great about it, especially after last week. And now Julian Edelman is telling you, bet against us. Go ahead. Try it.
Well, this is a us against the world kind of, nobody believed in us.
Yeah, but if it works.
Like, the Patriots need that kind of.
Now he's doing bet against us videos, and that's a little.
So now the line is at 3. What did it start at? 4? I believe it started at 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 3 now. Same with the Saints and the Rams. 3-point game. The under over is stayed at 57 in the Rams Saints game. It's 55.5 now, Chiefs. And I'm like a dummy. I bet it at 54.5 because I thought it was going down. So are you going to bet against the Saints? Are you going to bet against the Patriots? Don't bet with your heart.
I don't
know anybody that wants to see the Patriots back in the Super Bowl. I really don't.
They're not the better team. Am I going to let one? They have not played good football forever, except one week last week when they caught San Diego going East Coast back to back. Am I going to let one game affect the last 10 weeks? The last 10 weeks of football haven't been good.
Why
in the world would I take one week and think that that's... This entire time, I thought Kansas City is substantially better than New England. Gronk is not the same Gronk. Tyreek Hill's better than Edelman. Gronk, Kelsey's better than Gronk. I think Mahomes is better than Brady this year for sure. Andy Reid is on par with Bill Belichick. The defenses both are not great. Do I just ignore all that stuff and just say, well, the Patriots are the Patriots?
Well, that's the question, because then you'll feel like an idiot afterwards when the Chiefs win the football game. But if they don't, if the Patriots do, you go, well, that's on me. I bet against the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got both sides there.
No, I know. But when Julian Edelman and the Patriots remind you, bet against us, it is kind of ominous, because you got to think, do I want to be the guy that goes against Tom Brady? I mean, it makes you think.
Man, Nick Foles beat Tom Brady.
That's true. Okay. No.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
No.
Yeah, Nick Foles.
Nick Foles beat the Patriots defense. And Tom Brady beat the snot out of the
Patriots
defense. Got the loss.
The Patriots defense still stinks. And you know what? Now it's not even a neutral field. You have to go on the road to Kansas City.
Yeah, and they haven't fared well on the road in the AFC Championship game.
And now it's they've only done it twice, but
against Peyton Manning too.
Yeah, but Pat Mahomes, like I think Lance might have pointed out, someone did. This Pat Mahomes was better than the Peyton Manning they faced the last time.
Yes.
Much better.
If this was at Gillette, I'd be all with everyone being shook about the Patriots. They're not the same team on the road. They're not. The defense isn't. The offense isn't. Take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Are you?
I am.
Good. Julian Edelman wants you to be.
Julian Edelman wants you to be.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do after I win my money? I'm going to say, thanks, Julian.
You going to go buy a shirt?
No. I'm going to say, thanks, Julian, for the advice. For the betting advice.
Yeah.
The Patriots stink of...
We got to get Hatchet Man on this weekend.
The Patriots stink of a team trying to will themselves to one final run.
That's exactly what it is.
You got every advantage. You played a Chargers team who played a physical game against the best defense in football, and they had to travel twice. This is them trying to say, no, we're still there. You're not that team anymore.
The travel twice thing is a major, major deal. Going from San Francisco or San Diego or L.A. to Maryland and then again to New England. That is traveling east. Now, I don't care. Well, didn't they leave? I had somebody say, well, it doesn't matter. They left early. It doesn't matter if they leave early. The body clock, that's a 3-hour adjustment body clock. You're not going to just get over it in 3 extra days. That's a major deal to adjust your body clock that much. So I'm just going to go with what I've seen the whole year. The whole year, I thought Kansas City is definitely much better than New England, and I think that's probably the case now.
Yeah, I agree. Holly, 500. The Pats got smoked by Eagles defense, who didn't even show up to the Super Bowl. Got smoked by the Eagles defense. Brady had 505 yards of passing. How did they get smoked by the Eagles defense?
Wasn't a lot of that in the second half? Like, didn't he go off? I'm trying to remember. Didn't he go off in the second half for a lot of it?
Yeah, but they weren't getting killed.
I'm trying to remember how the game was.
No, it was a great game.
It came down to the last
possession where Brady got sacked. And yeah, I mean, it was a great game. They needed all of it. 505 yards. Yep, smoked. Thanks, Holly. 505 is all I'm saying. Stop.
Look, like I said, this is the last vestiges of a great franchise trying to pick themselves up by the bootstraps and convince themselves that they've got one more in them. It ends on Sunday. Not this dynasty. As long as Brady's there, they'll be fine. They're not the better team. You're not going to convince me, Julian Edelman. You're not going to be running through Chiefs like you did the Chargers, because apparently the Chargers decided they had no interest in tackling or being physical. Take the Chiefs.
Yeah. And the other one, I don't know. I think it's a coin flip. I'm going to take the Saints, though. I'm going to take the Saints in that building. Did it earlier this year, 1-10.
I'm going Rams, and only because it just feels like the Rams might have enough juice to beat the Saints. There's been something off about their offense.
And their stories are out if you care about referees. Oh,
there's been something off about the Rams offense. You see Goff's numbers first half and second half of the season?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I saw it, but I saw them get rolling last week, and I still saw the Saints struggle. Last week in their own home building. They managed to just roll their way to 20 points for a win. I don't. And when I look at the two teams, I just see there's clearly more weapons with the Rams. Probably nobody has more weapons than the Rams. Probably nobody in football. But I just see, well, Chiefs might disagree with you because they only need two. You know, it only takes two weapons, but I'd say the Rams have maybe even more weapons than that. But Cooper Kupp is out, but they've got some good wide receivers across the board.
Cooks and Woods are awesome.
And they've got Higbee, and they've got, I mean, they've only got some guys. But
And Gurley.
Gurley is going to be the key to this game.
Fat CJ?
To me, Gurley, they couldn't get Mark Ingram going. They got him going in the second half. They couldn't get him going in the first half. The Saints are going to have to run the ball well. They're going to have to run the ball well. But you can pass on the Rams. Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, that whole combination, and you can run right at him. No. For having Sue, Aaron Donald, Talib, and Peters, that sure is a soft defense for having all that talent.
Does it make you guys feel any better that Cleet Blakeman is the lead referee and the Patriots are 3-5 with him as the ref, while the Chiefs are 6-2?
It makes me feel better,
Those are the numbers that are out.
Makes me feel better.
It probably doesn't make you feel as good about the Rams-Saints because the lead referee in that game, Vinovich, the Rams are winless with him as a lead ref.
Well, doesn't make me feel as good.
No.
Makes me feel really good. Makes me feel really good with my Saints bet. All right,
don't worry. The Patriots fans are already ready to blame Cleet for everything and how the league is cheating them. And there's a conspiracy.
He was the lead ref for the AFC title game win last year, so they can eat that because he was there and you won.
The league has done everything to try to take it away from the Pats, and they're never gonna take it away from Tom. Yeah. And they're never gonna take it away from Julian. You can put anyone in there, and it doesn't matter. Tom is gonna beat him. Bill's gonna beat him. Put all your cheating refs in there, Roger. See, right now, they're gearing up what they're going to scream at Roger Goodell, a great, great commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Worst commissioner in the history of sports.
You still feel that way considering Vinovich, the Rams are 0-8 with him as the lead ref? You still feel that way about the assignment that Roger
put?
0-8. 0-2 this year, 0-8 overall. Haven't won a game with Vinovich as the lead ref.
Well, then quit cheating them.
What?
Hmm?
Who's cheating?
Hmm? Put some respect on the Super Bowl champion Eagles. No one cares about the NFL this year anymore. Not after last weekend. Stop, David. That's terrible. That's
after
ridiculous.
What happened last week?
The Eagles lost.
Oh no, no, we're good to be done with you guys.
Okay,
we're very happy to be done with Nick Foles and those bunch of ragamuffins they've got over there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Vagabond team.
Wendell
Smallwood.
Get LeBlanc.
Crevon LeBlanc, 5'3" cornerback. Just get out of here with your vagabond team.
And Nick Foles, stop. 9 inches.
Future Jacksonville Jaguar, Nick Foles?
Yep. Yeah, 929. He needs some. Do you think Nick Foles needs some testosterone?
Not according to his nickname.
Nope.
Well, that didn't have, but see, that's the thing. That doesn't have anything to do with the testosterone.
Well, it
depends on what he's doing. It depends on if he's got the drive.
If he's doing stuff.
He's not limp, Nick.
Now, Marty, it is Mr. Dell.
That's Mr. Dell. Inappropriate, Marty.
She's homeschooled. She might be.
Yeah.
It is him. You know, I got to tell you, so Men's T Clinic is, that is one of the things that they can help you take care of is if you have a libido issue and your sexual drive is down, that can be one of the signs of lower testosterone. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. And I know a lot of people thought that was the case. It's not necessarily the case at all. What you do see is there's a myriad of potential telltale factors that could be factoring in. Energy is a big one. If you don't have the same energy level that you used to, that's a big sign. It also can be something like drive at work and your ability to get ahead and work. It can be your workouts. Maybe your workouts are not carrying the same. That's probably, honestly, the energy level and the workout level. If you're not carrying the same lean muscle mass, you're starting to see feels like a mudslide in the front of your body, that might be a sign that you've lost your testosterone levels and you're no longer able to carry the lean muscle mass. Make sure that you go to the website menstclinic.com. Read up on them if you choose. But you'll see a provider every single time you're in there. Go to menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com. Four locations in Houston, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and right there in the Heights area at 1801 Durham. It's menstclinic.com.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. Whatever this is on, let me drop some shit like this here. At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls just staring at a nigga. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got some people who's been waiting. Biscuit's been waiting to talk here on the show.
16-1 Cougs.
How about them Cougs winning last night? 600 wins for Kelvin Sampson.
Yes, sir.
How about that?
And that's what taking time off to be a pro coach for a while.
Yeah, how about that, Biscuit?
Hey, man, before I get to my take with the Cougars, man, I think Dale was on it with Harden, man. The thing that Harden is fighting against is that San Antonio game. And he got to do something really spectacular in the playoffs to get that taste out of people's mouths. People always gonna remember when the chips were down. Did you fight to keep the ship floating, or did you bail? And he bailed on that San Antonio game, and that's you know. So anything he do in the regular season, yeah, fine. That's good. That looks good.
Well, it's more than
playing
that.
Some good ball.
It's more than that, Biscuit. It's the finals when he was in Oklahoma City. He was terrible. Game 5, 12 turnovers against Golden State in 15.
Yeah.
It's the game 6 against the Spurs. It's last year 2-for-13, and they went 0-for-27 as a team, and he needs to pull them out of that. I mean, it's more than just that Spurs game.
Right. But that Spurs game is really – but you're right. All those other things contribute to it. But, hey, getting to my Cougars, man, I'm telling you right now, man, I see a Sweet 16 team. I went over there to check them out last Saturday against Wichita State. Kelvin Sampson got a nice little squad over there.
I want to go out there and watch him because, you know, Kelvin Sampson was always known for his defense. He was always known for getting after people. And the one thing about tournament basketball – a lot of it is, do you have veteran guards and do you shoot the threes? That's what it's become. But there is something to be said for rebounding and defense, because when the going gets tough, those teams can survive. And you know, it's almost become a given that you're going to have somebody who scores well. But Kelvin Sampson teams will defend and they will rebound. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Biscuit, I'm interested to see if he can maintain this.
I'm telling you, man, he's playing about 10 guys and he's got about... Because, like you said, one of the things that Cougars had a problem with in the past was they always were undersized. And you're like, okay, what happens if, you know, they get killed on the boards? But he got some big guys over there now. And he's rotating about 10, and they play well defensively. They don't turn the ball over. The only key is how much, you know, shooting is going to get. And it seems like he's getting an uptick from a couple guys that were hurt earlier that's going to help him in the 3 points. I'm telling you, a Sweet 16, if not Elite Eight.
They should have been there last year. I mean, easily could have beat Michigan last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
last year
they had them.
They had them.
One guy.
Right. So, I mean, that's a good basketball team. And the only reason, what are they, 16th now? Ranked 16th in the country? 21st in the country. The only reason is because they're U of H and not in a Power 5. This basketball team in a Power 5, and they beat Power 5 teams. This team has proven that they can play ball. Yeah, that Temple game notwithstanding, they were an underdog. They got upset. No, they didn't. They were an underdog in that basketball game. Going to Temple, that's a good basketball team too. So, this is a fun team to watch. Even if they don't win their tournament, this team is going to the NCAA tournament. As long as they keep on playing, they don't fall apart. This is a good enough basketball team. This is a tournament team. So it'll be fun. Yeah, and I haven't been yet, but the arena is supposed to be spectacular. They did it right, too. Made it the right size, as opposed to a cavernous place that has empty seats. People are going, and they're excited about this team. It's fun. Kelvin Sampson is one of the best coaches in the city, and he doesn't get that credit for it. Let's get Thomas in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Thomas?
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Just, you know, on the segment about Patriots versus Chiefs, I can't see in any way, shape, or form that Andy Reid is on par with Bill Belichick. It was last year's meltdown, right? Andy Reid holds two of the four 18-point or more halftime meltdowns in NFL playoff history. He's a sub-500 coach in NFL playoff history. And I was sitting here on hold trying to figure out how many points I would need to bet on an Andy Reid team. I think it's something like 3 in the divisional round, but I'm thinking it's like 5-6 in a championship game. I mean, I can see him in that fourth quarter with a lead, right? And the pressure just comes on, and you know, things start to suck up into his body. Anything going back
things
to the Super Bowl,
things start to suck up into his body.
Dialing back the play sheet, and you know, keeps Mahomes handing off, and you know, don't do a big drop back in the pocket. Do they win? Probably, but man, I would never be comfortable betting on one of his teams.
That makes sense. I get that from a historical standpoint. You know, that makes some sense. And going against Brady probably isn't the – we've got to get rid of the Patriots. We just have to. It's enough. It's enough. We got to get rid of them. And if it's not this year, then you're never killing those roaches.
Man, if a 5-loss Patriot team makes the Super Bowl, the AFC should just quit.
It's on the AFC.
Just get out of here.
It's on the AFC. Gronk's not even a factor.
Is Peyton Manning the only one who can get them the F out of our faces? Is that what we're going to be told if the Chiefs don't win?
Is this what we're left with?
You got to bring Peyton back for just a championship game? Someone's got...
Or Eli? Are
yeah.
they just the Mannings?
Nick Foles, apparently.
And Nick Foles.
Yeah. Thomas, you may be right. Listen, were the Eagles as good as the Patriots when he took them? Listen, last year was bad, but he was handing off with Alex Smith as his quarterback. He has the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He's almost got the exact opposite quarterback right now. A guy who will never throw downfield versus a guy who has the most explosive plays we've seen in how long. I don't know. I disagree. I think Andy Reid is a great coach. I think Andy Reid, I don't know that something will suck up into his body. I don't think that will happen. I don't know what that means.
You know what it means.
No, I don't know what that means.
You know what it means.
No, okay, it's inappropriate, though.
Well, something will suck up into his body. You know exactly what that means.
Thank God Marty's not listening anymore.
I know.
All right, because that inappropriateness from callers is unacceptable, Marty.
We once had a girl, I can't remember, what was her name? The homeschool girl who used to listen. We were at 6:10. Some girl would call. She called in a couple
times.
Changed
the show.
I'm homeschooled, and I just want you guys to know I'm listening. Mm. No, but we got a little edgier once we got over here. It got real edgy. Like there were no rules.
Yeah.
There we were. It was just strange to know there was a homeschool.
The homeschool.
Oh, Adrian, the homeschool girl. I'm like, do we have to always think about that? There's some 16-year-old girl listening to the show who's homeschooled.
Yes.
But you end up doing that.
Yes.
And we had some kid named John. I can't remember what his name was. John. And he had called us and he started talking. Well, why aren't you in school? We asked him. He's like, go to, it was either Kincaid or Episcopal. Like, I'm waiting on the side of the road. I threw up in my car. I'm sick.
And oh, yeah.
And so we called him Little Johnny Vomit. But he's calling sports talk shows on the side of the road while he's got vomit in his car waiting for his parents to come pick him up. What is wrong with kids? And now you got kids like Kyrie Irving, a youngster. Some would call him, he'd be termed a millennial. And he's grown up now. He's becoming a leader. When we come back, we'll show you what kind of amazing leader Kyrie is becoming. Because now he understands what he put LeBron through. He's like, there's only a certain amount of us that really can handle being great. And I get it now, LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're one of the great ones, Kyrie?
Yeah.
Because you seem like just a pretty good point guard right now.
He's leading them to championships. That's what he's doing.
No, but he hasn't.
But he won a championship. So he's leading them to the championships. He understands the route that LeBron had to take now because he's mature.
He's mature now?
He's mature.
He was just yelled at his coach.
Mm-hmm. He's mature now.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
He was mature now. Okay, good for him. Are you mature now? Or are you going to keep on paying the ridiculous amounts for your homeowners and your car insurance because I just don't want to fool with it. I'll just let it re-up. I don't want the hassle. Okay. A, that's dumb. And B, you don't have to be hassled. You can text money to 232323. And TGS is a company who will shop insurance rates for you. They shop homeowners insurance, and they can also shop car insurance. We don't talk about car that often, but they do that as well. They will shop for the best rates they can find for you for your car insurance. But I got to tell you something. With the homeowners insurance, that's a really, really big deal because you may be paying way too much for your homeowners insurance. Get the coverage that you need and get competitive pricing. Text money to 232323, because that's what you're trying to save. They'll text you back. They'll ask for your address. You text it back, and within seconds, you will get a quote. And it's that simple. It's an automated system. You get a firm quote, and you can find out whether or not they can compete with what you're getting right now for your homeowner's insurance. Chances are they've got a great chance of giving you the type of prices that you deserve and yet the coverage that you have to have. Go to the web or go to your phone and immediately text 232323 and text the word money to 232323 and get a brand new quote for your homeowner's insurance.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey Houston, Tony Kemp here with the Houston Astros. You're listening to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I don't know why I'm in an argument with Sean. Sean, he's not Tony Romo. James Harden has sucked in the elimination games, period, period, period. This is not even arguable.
I thought it was Dr. Dre you're arguing with.
No, it's Sean. Dr. Dre said something
Dr. Dre initially said,
so Durant.
Tony Romo never played at this level.
So, stop. James Harden needs to change that. James Harden, yes, he's changed my attitude towards him. Last year, I was like, oh, my God, he is. He seems like a different guy. He seems like he's about winning now. It's not just about James Harden. But he's got to change the narrative in the postseason if he's going to change what people think of him. That's got to happen in clutch time. Yes, he's got to change that. He's got to change that. So, anyway, 713-780-3776. Oh, he's working harder now and he's staying after. Oh, that's great. All that's fine. But let's, you know what? If he wins and wins big in the postseason, yes, if Chris Paul would have stayed healthy, blah, blah, blah. But they went 0 for 27, and he was a big part of that. He's the superstar. He's got to make that one that changes the fortunes of the organization. He's got to make the one. Win, 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 win. You're damn right. So, I mean, I'm all for James Harden winning the championship. Boy, you want to see a party afterwards? What? It is going to be a party in this city if James Harden wins a championship. There's no question about that. I love that. Love to see that. Now, Kyrie Irving had this to say. Yesterday, he met the media, and he had to tell everybody how great he is. Because
this is my favorite. That he's like, guys, when you're a true leader, let me tell y'all what I did.
Here it is.
Let me tell y'all some of my leadership stuff that's going on right now. You guys need to know about it.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to the championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people, and Brown was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him, and sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And like I said, only few are meant for it or chosen for it. And, you know, I feel like the best person to call was him because, you know, he's been in the situation. You know, he's been there with me where I've been the young guy of, you know, being a 22-year-old kid and, you know, wanting everything. He wanted everything right now, you know, coming off an all-star year starting. And then, you know, this heck of a presence comes back. And now I got to adjust my game to this guy. And, you know, you take it personal, but at the end of the day, he just wants what's best. And he has a legacy he wants to leave, and he has a window he wants to capture. So I think what that brought me back to is like, all right, how do I get the best out of this group of the success they had last year? And then helping them realize what it takes to win a championship.
You know, I respect all that stuff. My problem, though, is that this generation has to share everything publicly. Everything has to be shared, including airing out dirty laundry to media about players who aren't doing this. And we got. It's one thing to make a comment here or there, but when everything has to be wishing birthdays and having problems with teammates through Twitter who are on your team, like LeBron did that too. LeBron would have problems with Kevin Love through Twitter.
Like, or somebody says something negative and you like it.
Yeah, you know, and that whole thing is stop being such passive-aggressive tricks. Just go and handle stuff behind the scenes. You don't have to share everything. You really don't. Not everything. You don't have to tell everyone what a great leader you are. You can just do it. I respect the fact that he's doing that. And yes, there probably is an issue with last year. There was no Gordon Hayward. There was no Kyrie at one point. And all these young guys stepped up. With Tatum, obviously Tatum was a big one, and Brown. And so now the pecking order is a little askew. And when he talked about, I don't disagree that there's probably an issue between the younger, quote unquote, younger players and the quote unquote veteran players. But I'm sure that's still something that's an issue.
Yeah, but you're airing that right now just by saying that I have to lead these young guys.
Yeah, the whole thing is an airing out of public grievances. Where it's just we live in a generation where the athletes cannot just handle. I shouldn't make a generalization. A lot of the athletes cannot just handle things privately and behind the scenes. They got to let everyone in on it so everyone knows what's really going on with this or their leadership. Like Kyrie, the whole thing kind of feels not fraudulent, but it feels kind of like still amateurish the way he's handling all this stuff. Yelling at his coach because of how a play was designed and all that stuff. Dude, if you're gonna be a leader, and I think LeBron is one of the weird examples of old school, new school. He's old school in terms of getting people to play. You know, he steps up and rises to the occasion and all the great things. He's kind of new school in the sense that he's the one who was putting Kevin Love on blast publicly through a social media platform or talking about teammates through social media, as opposed to just being the guy who went into the locker room and just took care of whatever he had to take care of and said whatever he had to say. You don't have to put it out there for your 1 point or your 6 million followers or whatever because you're having an issue with Kevin Love not being aggressive enough in rebounding. Like that's not people's business. Be a grown-ass person and handle it like a grown-ass person. But at the same time, you know, a lot of the way he plays is you know, a lot of the ways he plays is kind of old school in his approach. So I do respect LeBron in that way. I don't respect all the little isms that he has and the super insecurities, and he calls himself the GOAT and all that. But that's just the way it is now. I mean, you gotta get your shine and your likes and your retweets. So
stuff that would never have been done. Steelers' offensive line this year, and
yeah.
You know, with Le'Veon. And,
where they comment and publicly?
And this Antonio Brown
Brown, man, this is a classic example. And honestly, I'll give you another case. I can't believe Bruce Arians talked about it.
I know.
I can't believe Bruce put him on blast. First of all, you're a head coach of a team now. That's considered tampering.
And yeah, you can't talk about another player.
You can't talk about another player. So why Bruce Arians is talking about Antonio, why Ben Roethlisberger is putting all that stuff out there publicly about some of his players. No, all of that. I just don't get how everything has got to be public now. That's crazy to me.
That's the world.
You know what? And I don't see a lot of public stuff with the Rockets. I give them a lot of credit. It can't have been perfect with Dwight. You know what's really amazing? The Dwight and James stuff did not really get out there publicly much.
No.
That's kind of amazing because Dwight is diva. James is diva. They didn't get along great. I had heard through channels that Sam Decker was a Dwight guy. So when Dwight was gone,
beat it.
You got to get up on out of here. Now that's what I was told. I don't know. And not by anyone with the Rockets, but somebody who would know. So I think it's kind of interesting, though, that I'll give James credit. James is the guy in the locker room. Mm-hmm. He doesn't put people out there on social media. Mm-hmm. Not that I ever see.
No.
I don't see it with Astros. I don't see it with the Texans.
No, Texans either. No. We're classy.
Yeah.
We're classy.
Yep.
I did see, though, that Cardi B came out with a little something for our president.
Cardi,
so and I'm she a little, also, I'm hey, a little disappointed. She's a Houston girl now because she's going to be at the rodeo.
Who did she fight?
We'll talk about all her indiscretions on the other
Foxy,
side.
Was it Foxy or Lil
on
Kim?
The other side? Right here
Neither
on ESPN.
One, actually, but.
She fought Jeff Aronoff, maybe. But who you got in that one?
Cardi.
I got Cardi.
Whoa, that's a little disrespectful.
A little bit.
You're a little bit disrespectful. A little bit yourself.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
That's all. So. What I'm saying is I got Jeff Aronoff in that one because you know why? Because he'll probably hit her with some slab of marble or something. You know what I'm saying? Pick it up, take it, and just – well, he's got everything that's rock hard. He's got marble. He's got tile. He's got granite. He's absolute marble and granite. Absolute marble and granite. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guy that's going to come and make your house a better place, make your business a better place. You need a new patio. Hey, if you've got a restaurant and you want to put in a patio for an outdoor patio so that you could serve out there, Jeff Aronoff, that's who you call. Your bar is Shunkat, and you need a new one. Yeah, Jeff Aronoff, he can put in an entire bar or vanities in your bathrooms. If your home or business needs any of this stuff, there's one guy to call. You get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is ESPN 97.5.